This is a podcast for the MA in Online Journalism by Distance Learning at Birmingham City University.
As a journalist, laws can not only be used as something to attack you, but also as a way for you to gain information from public bodies. In particular, in the UK, there are three laws which have particular use to gain newsworthy interest or newsworthy information or information that is in the public interest. And these are the Freedom of Information Act, the Environmental Information Regulations, and Data Protection. The Freedom of Information Act is obviously the best known of the three, and this gives you access to any information held by a public body which doesn't come under a number of exemptions which sometimes apply, and I'll cover some of those exemptions. The number of public bodies is very large, actually. It's worth being aware of not just the obvious ones, but also some of the less known ones. So, for example, every local authority is subject to the Freedom of Information Act, the FOI Act. And so you can get information from your local council or from a local council about data they hold on anything from planning applications to the number of accidents to the parking tickets or the use of the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act. So local councils are an obvious place. Primary care trusts are another. Police bodies are another. But it's also worth bearing in mind that many of these organisations are also subject to other organisations. Recently, the Association of Chief Police Officers were brought into the FOI Act and was made subject to that Act. UCAS, the University Admissions Body, is now subject to the Act. Education bodies generally, like Ofsted, will be subject to the Act. So one really useful tip for looking into this is to use the site What Do They Know? And What Do They Know lists not all of the public bodies, but most of the public bodies that are subject to the FOI Act. It also allows you to make FOI requests to those bodies, but just searching for a term like health or transport or education will help you find bodies that you might not have otherwise thought of. And you'll get very unusual ones that you wouldn't have considered. So the other thing about What Do They Know is it will show you FOI requests made by other people along those lines about similar subjects. And this will give you ideas for potential questions to ask. It will help you phrase your requests sometimes. And it's just a useful thing to follow to keep up to date with what requests are being made and how. And it also has RSS feeds, so you can subscribe to either requests made to individual bodies or individual users of the site or keywords. Another thing to look for are disclosure logs. Disclosure logs are places where some public bodies publish either the FOI requests that have been made to them, or in some cases, the responses that were provided. As I say, not all public bodies publish these, but a useful tip to search for this is to just search for disclosure logs and then site:gov.uk, and that will return all of the websites that end in .gov.uk that have a mention of disclosure logs on their site. And this means that you can see if a question has been previously asked. It means sometimes you can see the information that was supplied and you can build on that. So, for example, the prescription pricing division happened to have published some data which was relevant to a question that I was pursuing. However, that data was in PDF format, and so I sent them an email saying, can you please supply it to me in Excel spreadsheet format, which they did very quickly. So disclosure logs are another very useful source of information on the FOI Act. Now, I mentioned a number of exemptions to FOI requests. The most commonly used exemptions are cost, because there is a limit on the cost of a particular body complying with your request. They can say that it's going to be too expensive. And the other is personal information, data protection. So they may refuse to provide information because it breaches a person's right to privacy. It allows you to identify individuals, for example. Both of these exemptions are worth challenging. For example, the cost exemption, there are a number of ways you can come back to the public body on this. If they say it's going to cost too much, you can say, well, is there a smaller amount of information that I can request that would come under that cost threshold? So, for example, you may be asking for 10 years information and you can say, give me 2 years or 3 years or 5 years instead. And they do have a duty under the FOI Act to advise you and help you in making your request. So, as well as saying, no, we can't do this, they should also say, but we can give you this amount of information. So talk to them and do remind them of their duty under the FOI Act to advise you in this respect. The other aspect of cost is sometimes ignorance, which is that they actually don't understand how easy it might be to get hold of some information. To give an example on Help Me Investigate, with one investigation we were looking into parking ticket costs and we made the same FOI request to a number of councils. Some of the councils gave the data without question. Some of them said it would cost too much to supply it. And so we would ask them, who is your software maker? Who made the database software on which this information is stored? And once we had that information, we could go to the manufacturer and find out how easy it would be to get the data that they needed. And quite often it was a very simple process, and either they were pretending or they simply didn't know how easy it was to do that. So ask what software they're using, talk to the maker of that software, and help them to do what you want them to do more cheaply than they think it will cost. The personal information exemption is much harder to get around, but again, it's worth talking to the body to find ways to avoid it. So you may say that the data can be redacted. That obviously has a cost implication. It may be that the data relates to individuals at the top end of the organisation, and there is a precedent set that says that people above a certain level in an organisation do not have the same rights to privacy, for example, as individuals on lower wages. So, for example, you have a right to know how much the top earners are earning, but not how much the low earners are earning. For other exemptions, it's worth searching the Information Commissioner's Office to find judgments relating to that particular exemption and to see if any precedent has been set in terms of what is and isn't acceptable under that exemption. The Information Commissioner's Office, the ICO, publishes a number of judgments, and you should keep up to date with these because they do come in very useful in quoting to a body when you're asking for information. And it can be useful to quote these in advance when you make the request to preempt any objections that they might have. It also sends a very clear message that you know what you're talking about and that these people won't necessarily succeed in pulling the wool over your eyes if they quote particular sections of the Freedom of Information Act. A really good book to read on this is Heather Brooks' Your Right to Know. This goes through a number of areas and a number of bodies in each area, education, health, transport and so on, and provides lots of tips on using the FOI Act. Now, I mentioned two other laws. One of those was the Environmental Information Regulations Act, and this has a lot of overlap with FOI, and it basically deals with your right to ask for information on environmental issues. So you can ask for information about pollution, you can ask for information about recycling, anything like that is likely to come under EIR. And in practical terms, this really is the same as making an FOI request, and it's likely to be to the same person. But it may be that you need to know about the EIR to, again, deal with exemptions and make particular claims. This is also covered, I believe, in Heather Brooks' book. The final area of law that is useful to you as a journalist is data protection. Data protection legislation basically gives you the right to access any information that is held about you as an individual. And as a journalist, this can be useful either if you're investigating something and you want to know about any correspondence about yourself that has taken place, which might relate to this investigation, or if you're dealing with a source who is involved in a particular situation with public bodies, where having access to what those bodies have said about that individual may be useful. Now, in that latter case, you obviously need that individual to make the request under the Data Protection Act themselves. So you cannot ask for information about someone else, but you can help someone else make a request for their own information. So, for example, if you have an individual who's been treated particularly badly by the health system, that individual might be able to make a request, well, they will be able to make a request under the Data Protection Act to find out about notes made about them by medical practitioners. And it is then up to them to give you access to those notes as well, which might help tell the story that you and they are trying to tell. If you are doing something yourself, if you're the subject of accusations of harassment, for example, as a couple of online journalists have been, then again you can ask the police for records of what complaint exactly was made about you and how that case proceeded, what was said about you by the police. This is particularly useful when you have an individual who is saying, for example, that the police have charged you with harassment or have gone through particular procedures, and you will be able to gain access to evidence of what actually happened. Now, a good, very recent example of this is Bloggerheads, a guy called Tim Ireland, who runs the Bloggerheads blog. And he's been accused by an MP of stalking her, basically. And she's made various statements about what the police have done about this. Tim Ireland has got hold of the evidence, the actual paperwork of what the police actually did, and is now publishing this on his blog as counter evidence to the claims being made by the particular politician. So just to round up, there are a number of pieces of legislation, a number of acts which are useful to you as a journalist, can get you access to some really interesting and publicly valuable stories about how public money is spent, about what is said about you or an individual within public bodies, and accessing environmental information about how environmental issues are dealt with by public bodies. Do use these tools, do use these laws to get to some really valuable stories, and help your users to use these laws as well, because ultimately what they get hold of will be useful to you, and the relationship that you build with those individuals will lead to better journalism.